Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to verse 26 through 33. So we have a little bit of a passage here, just so we can jump into the story. So a little bit of background here. Israel had finally gotten through the desert. They're peering over across the Jordan into the promised land. And the Lord said, Moses, get... How many of you know this story? Get you how many men? Oh, come on, guys. How many men? 12 men to spy out the land. Let's go to verse number 1. Notice with me, Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan. Notice this. Which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one, a ruler among them. Let's jump now to verse 26. I normally avoid big passages, but I think for this message, we're going to have to kind of be all over the place to kind of get the whole idea here. But jump with me to verse 26, please. The Bible says, 25, And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. Now, if I'm mispronouncing this, I don't speak Hebrew, so. And brought back word again to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, and they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, Nevertheless, how many of you ever talk to somebody and they're telling you all this, and they say, but, that's kind of what's going on here. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, I love Caleb's enthusiasm here. Okay, guys, let's go. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth of the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Now you see them trying to inflate, trying to make it sound worse. verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Lord, would you please take your word this evening? Would you help us, Lord? Would you hide me behind the cross? Would you just take over the service this evening? Please, Lord, help us not to leave just the way we came in, but that we would leave changed and challenged by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. First, this evening, let's take, and I kind of, a few of the points are very short, but then I kind of want to bring it all to kind of a decision point there in the end. But notice first this evening, the spies report. I don't know if you're like me, but I always thought, man, it'd be so cool to be a spy. Anybody like that? Can you imagine 40 days behind enemy territory trying to not get seen? And they traveled that whole territory. Can you imagine how cool that must have been? As I was thinking of this, can you imagine seeing those giants? That would have been something. I wonder if they used camouflage. I would assume so. You know, get grape leaves and, you know, I could see one of the spies get a big cluster of grapes and hide inside. No, that's not in the Bible. But it's interesting that we see two reports here. Same scenario, but two different reports. 10 of the spies said, listen, yeah, the land is good, but forget it. Why? I think because they were more focused on the giants than on God. And Susan, listen, they said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. My question is, and this is kind of to hopefully I can bring this all together this evening, but as a matter of fact, yes, those people were stronger than they were. Do you think Joshua and Caleb understood that? I'm sure they did. But what makes the difference of the report of the 10 spies and the report of Joshua and Caleb? Notice Joshua and Caleb's report, Numbers, I'm going to ask people to read to help me out. Numbers 13, Tyler, Numbers 13, 33 and 34, please read 13, 30 and 31, please. Numbers 13, 30 and 31.
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
So, 10 verses 2. Caleb like, hey guys, come on, let's get geared up, let's go, let's go, let's go. Then the other 10 spies, no way. It's interesting that in the last bit there, they even changed. They made it sound worse than it really was because they were fearful. So follow with me. We saw the report, the spies report, then Joshua and Caleb's report. The 10 said, no, don't do it. We can't because they're stronger than us. Caleb, and we're going to see Joshua later, said, hey, listen, we got to go because God has promised. Notice number 3, the people's reaction. What is the people's reaction? Notice verse chapter 14, verse 1 through 10. And bear with me. It says, who's got a good voice or a loud voice? Somebody volunteer to read? Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 through 5, please.
When the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, when the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be afraid, would it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt.
Very good.
Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you see the people's reaction? It's interesting. I think the underlining factor in our next point is the root of the problem is while Joshua and Caleb trusted God, I think the other 10 feared man. And it's interesting that when we affects other people. The 10 spies, they were causing the people of Israel to want to go back to Egypt. Fear leads us back to want to the world, to Egypt. But it's interesting. Look at Joshua and Caleb's response. Number 5, Joshua and Caleb's response. Verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of... How do you pronounce that, Brother Hankey? Oh, he's not here. Where is it? Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good. It's an exceeding good land. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, notice, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for there they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You see their response? While the other 10 spies cowered, Joshua and Caleb trusted God's promise. They believed that God would do what he promised. It's interesting, later on, if we continue to read here, They pick up stones to stone them. But what's amazing to me is that Joshua and Caleb stood their ground because their faith was immovable. So what is the root of the problem here? How do we have the same scenario but different reports? I believe that the 10 spies, their report, their actions was a result of fear. While Joshua and Caleb were following the Lord in faith. Did you know that fear hinders us? What are you fearing this evening? What is on your mind constantly pushing you to maybe doubt? Well, is God going to get me out of this? Is it a health issue? Is it finances? Is it, you fill in the blank. You see, fear makes us prisoners, while faith allows us to conquer. You see, I believe that the 10 spies were more focused on the problem than on God's promises. You know, just look at the 10 spies. They were worried about the giants, about the walled cities, about all the obstacles. While Caleb and Joshua, notice, they said, listen, if God, where's verse, let me go back here. Caleb. Let's go back here. Numbers 14:6. Through 9 says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is exceeding good land. Notice, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. Do you see who Joshua and Caleb was trusting? Do you see their faith? As I studied for this message, I was so convicted of how many times I have so little faith. Instead of relying on God's promises, I keep trying to problem solve my own problems. And then we act like the 10 spies versus Joshua and Caleb, who truly trusted the Lord. You see, the root of the problem was fear. They feared the men of the land. When the right response was, Joshua and Caleb feared God. It's interesting that as a result of the 10 spies being in fear, then all the people of Israel too were in fear. You see, when we have weak faith, that affects the people around us. I heard this somewhere, and it's not original with me, but it said, you cannot conquer the promised land if your heart is still in Egypt. And that is so true. While the 10 spies feared the people of the land, Joshua and Caleb trusted. They knew that, listen, God promised, and he's going to keep it. We can go without fear because God said he would give us the land. Notice number 5, God's response, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. Then goes on to say, the Lord said, listen, Moses, I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to make out of Moses, out of you, a new people. And Moses begs the Lord, said, Lord, listen, remember your mercy. Numbers 19, 13 through 19. Moses intercedes for the people. But notice, jump to 14 verse. Why did I beseech you the iniquity of the people? Notice with me. It's interesting how over and over Moses intercedes. He prays for Israel. He's a man of so much compassion. And if you want to read this later, you can see that God shows compassion and said, okay, but the consequence is, all these people that refuse to trust me, all these people who refuse to believe me, they're going to die in the wilderness. Except for Joshua and Caleb. They're going to get to go into the promised land. So that brings us to Joshua and Caleb's reputation. And it really was convicting to me, as I think, listen, Joshua and Caleb, everybody else was saying, hey, we can't do this. They said, hey, we can trust God's promise. What made them different than the other 10 spies? I believe they walk with God. If you look at Joshua's life, he was a man that just walked with the Lord, a man that did right. If you go to Joshua 14, verse 8, listen to what the Bible says. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me and that made the heart of the people melt. Notice what Joshua says. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I believe Joshua was a man of great faith, because he knew what it was to walk with God. Church, there's no way that we can have a strong faith if we don't walk with the Lord. There's no way, if you don't really know who God is, there's no way you're going to trust him when trouble strikes. But I believe Joshua and Caleb, what made them different than the other 10 spies is they walked with God. They followed God. They trusted God's promise. You know how many times we sing, "Oh, I'm trusting God." We sing songs about trusting God. Yet we live lives full of worry and fear. That is the opposite of faith. Notice with me Numbers 14:24. Could somebody please read Numbers 14:24, please? Yeah, go ahead.
"My servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall prosper or possess it."
Mm-hmm. Do you see Joshua and Caleb's reputation? Their legacy? Joshua, he followed God wholly, fully. Caleb, notice, "But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me fully." Again, there's no way that you have a strong faith if you don't walk with God, if you don't follow God with your heart. There's no way that I'm going to fully trust God in difficult times if I don't really know my God. It's interesting, something about faith. Ultimately, I think if there was a title for this message, it would be Faith versus Fear. But you know that our faith is only as strong as the object of it. If you trust in yourself, that's a very weak faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you're trying to get to heaven by being in church tonight, or because you were baptized, that's a weak faith. Your faith is only as strong as the object of it. Joshua and Caleb's faith was in God. They had seen God open the sea. They had seen God destroy the Egyptian army. They had seen God provide over and over again. And they knew that this next challenge was a piece of cake for God, because their faith was in the right place. While on the other hand, the other 10 spies, I believe that their faith was in themselves. "Oh, I'm not a good fighter. I don't know how to wield a sword, right?" You see the difference? Many times in our Christian life, we're trying to live the Christian life with faith on ourselves of, "Oh, if I read the Bible every day, then maybe I'll be able to conquer." You got to trust God. It's their faith in God. Because of their faith, I was thinking through, because of Joshua and Caleb's faith, they got to see God do more and more things in their life. Imagine Joshua and Caleb, because they trusted God. Listen, if Joshua and Caleb had not trusted God, they would never have seen Jericho. If Joshua and Caleb never trusted God, good old Caleb at 85 years old would have never seen those giants being driven out from the very mountain that he went to possess. You see, steps of faith lead to other greater steps of faith. I remember in my life, steps of faith that I had to take that weren't always easy. But I'm glad I took them. I remember when I quit my job, the Lord said, "Hey, Jed, if you don't go now, you're not going to go to the mission field." And I turned in my 2-week notice, not knowing, just had Ileana, not knowing where the next paycheck would come from. It was a big step of faith. But I trusted God. It's interesting with regards to Caleb and the mountain. I've always heard, "Oh, Caleb asked for that mountain." It's interesting that as I was studying, It was the very mountains which they said, oh, we saw the sons of the giants there. And I was wondering, what different spirit did Caleb have from the other guys? Maybe it was this spirit right here. He wasn't looking for an easy life. But he knew that if he trusted Christ, if he trusted God, God could help him overcome the biggest obstacles, those giants in his life. Church, I am convinced that many times we can never overcome the giants in our lives because of our little faith. It's interesting, I was thinking what William Carey wrote, expect great things for God. Attempt great things for God. We don't see God do bigger things because I think too many times we're like the ten spies, not like Joshua and Caleb. God has no limit other than our little faith. I don't know about you, but I want to see God do great things. But sometimes I'm scared to step out in faith. I want to see God reach Shelby, North Carolina. I want to see God reach Alta Flood Est. I want to see God reach all those tribes. But do I really have faith that he will? There's a difference between can and will. And that's the big difference in faith. We all know that God can, but how many of us really believe that God will do this? That only comes through knowing God deeply. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. Oh, I realized why Joshua was called the son of Nun. Because when the other 10 spies started criticizing the land, he would have none of it. Oh, come on, guys. Joshua chapter 14. 14, 12. Some of you will get it later. So you'll be driving home and you'll start laughing like, what? Oh, never mind. Joshua 14, 12 through 15. Could somebody please read? John. Is your name John? I got it, yeah. Verse 14 and 15 too. Do you see Caleb here? I had never seen Caleb in this light, but look at verse 12. Now give me this mountain. He had all the land to ask, and he asked the most difficult place where the giants were. Because he knew his God. Because he trusted, he said, hey, God's been with me all along. There's no task too big for me to conquer if God is on my side. Church, we need Christians with the spirit of Caleb. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. The last part, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out with God. All things are possible. I wonder, in my life, in your life, what is our lack of faith hindering God from doing? Think of Joshua and Caleb's legacy. They were men of faith. This is years after when Caleb, he was 80, around 85 years old when he asked for that mountain. He wasn't a young chick, how do you say, a spring chicken anymore? Is that how you say it? But age was no factor for him to trust God. The God who all through his life had proven faithful. He knew he could count on him. That is faith. We could all say, oh, I need more faith, but how many of us are really, truly willing to trust God and expect God to do great things? Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. Could somebody please read? Joshua 15, 14. Just one person at a time, please. Yes, Brother Phillips.
And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Ishai, Hakim, Talmai, children of Anak.
That's just 14. To me, this is amazing. Why? Because Caleb is nobody special. Caleb was a man just like any one of us. But Caleb had an all-powerful God that he knew he could trust. I wonder how much our lack of faith hinders us. How much our lack of faith hinders God's working in our lives. But let's go back. All this is because they trusted God. It's interesting. The very giants that once caused fear to all the people of Israel was the very giants, or related to the giants, that Caleb, through faith, through the enabling of God, conquered. I was thinking in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, we all know that verse, that, you know, with faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But Caleb, with his faith, conquered mountains, even though there were giants there. I don't know, perhaps Caleb's different spirit was his unwavering confidence that through faith in God, God could do the impossible. Do you really believe God can do the impossible? I remember one instance in my life where I wanted to exercise faith to show my daughter that God answers prayer. But I didn't ask God in front of her because I was like, why if God doesn't answer that? Oh, me of little faith. I don't know about you this evening, but are you going to be like the 10 spies? Later they got cursed and died and led the people of Israel for 40 miserable years in the desert because of faithlessness, because they chose to fear instead of wholeheartedly trusting God's promise. In the very end of Joshua chapter 24, we're talking about their legacy, their very well-known verse. Even at the very end of his life, look at Joshua's faith. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Let me open there. I'm used to reading it in Portuguese, and it sounds a little bit different here. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in which land ye dwell. Do you see his faith? Again, 40 years before this, 40 plus years before this, he didn't care what man thought about him. He was going to follow God. That's faith. Even though he and Caleb were the only ones against all the other 10 and they were about to stone him, he still stood his ground because of his faith, unwavering faith. Here, at the end of his life, you still see Joshua, a man of faith. But where am I? Y'all know this verse with me. But as for me, you can quote it with me. Oh, come on. It says, but as for me, y'all know this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What an example. Because of Joshua and Caleb's faith, you look through their lives, and as they conquered kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, much stronger than they ever were. Because they trusted that God would do what he promised. I wonder, how's your faith? The opposite of faith ultimately reveals itself as fears, concerns, anxiety. But faith is understanding, listen, I can trust God to get me through this. I can trust and expect God to do great things. I can trust God to move mountains spiritually. Yet, my fear is that many times we think that God only did great things in the past. God only parted Red Seas in the Bible. That God only could do bring the walls of Jericho down in the old days. But you see, God, the problem is not with God. The problem is us and our little. Jim Elliot wrote in his journal, "Forgive me for being so ordinary when claiming to know such an extraordinary God." How's our faith? My question is, what excuse do we have not to trust God? He's proven faithful. As I close this evening, what fear is keeping you from completely following and trusting God this evening? There are many, many examples of faith. I think of Job. He said, listen, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Perhaps we don't see God work the way he did in the past because of fear. Because maybe we don't really know God the way we should know. Or simply, our faith is in the wrong place. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not saved. Say, Pastor, Brother Jed, if I were to get in a car crash this evening and die and go to eternity, I have no idea if I'll go to heaven. I'm trying, but I don't know. Today, you can start, like Joshua and Caleb, putting your faith and trust completely in Jesus, and he will save you. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, nobody looking around. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.